Welcome to What Should I Do With My Life? Figuring it out from those who seem to have it all figured out. I'm your host, Stephanie Horowitz. When's the last time you stopped and asked yourself, what am I doing with my life? Why am I doing this? Do I even like this? Join me as we hear the inspiring stories of real people to find out what they did and are doing with their lives. Are they satisfied? Would they have done anything differently? Maybe through these stories, we will figure out how to bring more meaning and passion in our day-to-day. Hello, hello. Welcome, everyone. Today, we will be hearing from the unstoppable Eden Adler. While today she's a successful software engineer and a thriving leader in the tech community, Eden's original life plan was to be a doctor. Once she discovered her passion for programming and made the career switch, she made it one of her goals to break down barriers and make coding and tech understandable and accessible to everyone. Eden shares how she made the big pivot in her career journey, how her work became her passion, and how she uses her own story to encourage others who may be afraid to do so to break into the tech world. And with that, here's Eden. Shalom, shalom, Eden.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You're going to call me Eden like I'm from back home, but everyone here knows me as Eden, so you're going to confuse
them. I know.
Them.
So there's this big like identity thing where I've known Eden since we were little, and here in Israel, she goes by Eden, and it can be a bit confusing for other people. But today
but
I'm going to call you.
You can call me Eden. Yeah.
Today I'll call you Eden. So I'm really, really happy to have you join me today. I think you have an amazing story. I think it's inspirational for a lot of people. I think you're probably one of the most hardworking, talented people I know. And you're also very down to earth and relatable. You're a go-getter. You're amazing. And I would love to just dive in so people can really hear your story. So in a sentence, could you just tell me what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a software engineer at a startup called Lemonade.
And when you were a little kid growing up, did you ever think at this age you would say, oh yeah, I want to be a software engineer when I grow up?
Not at all. It's probably the opposite of what I thought I wanted to do.
What did you think you wanted to do?
I was pre-med my whole life. I mean, when I was younger, I was very creative and I would always like draw and paint and everything, but I also loved animals. I thought I wanted to be maybe a vet or a marine biologist, but really most of my life I wanted to be a doctor, and I was pre-med in university.
I'm always fascinated by people who, obviously we know that today you're in the computer science field and we'll talk more about the doctor stuff, but how did you even get to the point where you thought you wanted to be a doctor and knew that was the track so early on?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I had to do a lot of reflecting sort of recently, because basically what happened is I was on the track to going to med school and was, you know, took the MCAT, was applying to medical schools. And then, you know, all of a sudden they ask, you know, why you want to be a doctor. And I was like, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about it. And, you know, you need a really great answer. And this whole story, it's like college essays. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me take a second to think about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know what? I actually don't know if this is for me, but that's a separate thing. So I think my personality is just, I love challenges and I always seek out challenges. I love, you know, trying new things and really pushing myself. And I think when I was younger, I realized that, and I didn't realize this when I was younger, but now looking back, I think the reason I wanted to be a doctor is just because I wanted a challenge. And when I thought to myself, you know, what's the biggest challenge to mm-hmm. me as a young kid, I thought, you know, being a doctor was like the biggest challenge ever. As a young girl, I was just like, you know, let me just go after the biggest challenge I can find.
I can relate, and probably a lot of people do, where we're looking for the challenge. We don't want it to come easy. We want to work for it. But I guess what's so interesting about this story is that you were really on the path for this big challenge.
Oh, yeah.
You took the MCATs. You invested so much
I
time.
I did like
and
research blood, for sweat, 4 years. And yeah, definitely.
And then when you're applying, they ask you, so why do you want this? And you go, oh, I've been so focused on the track that I forgot to step back a minute and ask myself, why do I want this? Why am I about to go put myself through med school and residency and crazy hours and conditions?
Wow. I was in total tunnel vision. And it's funny because when I made that sort of scary decision to be like, maybe I'm going to abandon my lifelong childhood dream. And I had just taken the MCAT. So a lot of people told me, they're like, no, but you already took the MCAT. Mm-hmm. You've already, you know, sort of passed one barrier. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. That's super brave. So how did you come to that decision? Because that is super brave. You were on this path. You already invested a lot. What was the thing that made you take that step to say, actually, this isn't what I want to be doing right now?
Yeah, I think I started to think about, you know, sort of envisioning myself in that position. And there were a few things. One, I was shadowing a bunch of doctors, like any good pre-med student. And I would talk to them about their career and everything. And almost all of them tried to convince me not to do it. It was pretty interesting. And so after the like second or third time, I started really paying attention and being like, this is not just a coincidence. And it's not just one person's experience. And I was a like volunteer responder in Israel one summer. And so I got a little taste of that. And I realized that, you know, I'm a very sensitive person. I mean, I knew that, but I realized that in the context of medicine, it's really difficult because, you know, if you have patients, you form this emotional, you know, connection. And for me, being a super sensitive person, I really feel that deeply. And so it would be hard to make, you know, your doctor has to make difficult decisions sometimes. And I just felt like that would be really hard for me and against my nature. Like, why am I seeking out a career that's against, you know, my nature? I should be using my skills of, you know, being sensitive and creative and all this stuff to fit my career. And it just didn't seem like it was the most natural fitting thing based on my, you know, skills and what I enjoy.
So crazy. There's so much to unpack and so many questions. And I think it's so important because it doesn't matter what stage you are at the career. It doesn't matter if you're young and took the MCAT or in your 40s and you want to make a change. You're going to, regardless, it's going to be a big decision because you put some kind of large amount of effort and work into what you've already done. So first of all, I think it's extremely brave what you did. What kind of triggered or turned on this light bulb of, oh, computer science, oh, software engineering? How did that come about?
Yeah. So after I sort of, after I decided, you know, I hadn't decided flat out that I don't want to be a doctor. I had just decided, you know what, since I'm sort of confused, let me just take a year off. I wasn't able to study abroad because I was pre-med. So I was like, maybe I just need a break. Maybe I'm exhausted from my studies. I studied neuroscience and it was really intense. So I was like, let me live somewhere different, do somewhere different before my MCAT expires and see how I feel. So I came to Israel. That's a whole separate story. And I was working sort of a 9-to-5 job. And so in my free time, I would explore things that I'm interested in that because my schedule was so tight in university, I wasn't able to explore. So computer science and programming was one of those things that I was always curious about. My brother is a computer engineer. And I would always see him from a really young age, you know, working on different projects and things. And I think it was a field that I knew completely nothing about. And so it was one of those things where because I knew nothing about it, I was fascinated by it. And I felt like there's no reason I shouldn't at least know something about it. And he was always trying to, you know, push me to at least try it. He really wanted me to apply to engineering school, which a lot of other people thought I would do also. And had I not been pre-med, I would have done that. I think at the time I was just thinking, you know, as a pre-med student, that's kind of overkill and pre-med is hard enough. Why put engineering on top of it?
That sounds like to do that, you truly need 50 hours in a day.
Yeah. I was like, I'm crazy, but I'm not that crazy.
Yeah. No. I can't even imagine.
So it was something I was just like, you know what? I've never gotten to try it. I wanted to take a programming course while I was in university. I just didn't have the time or the energy. And so I started exploring. I started looking at stuff online, doing different courses and trying out a bunch of different things. And it was something that I got a taste for. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. but I want to like dive deeper. So that's, it's hard to learn everything at once. It's kind of like, you know, learning the English language. You can't learn everything that's out there all at once. But I got little tastes of it and I was like, this is, you know, really cool and really powerful. And so I want to dive in and understand it better and see if this is something that, you know, maybe I would want to do as a career.
So then that eventually led you to participating in a boot camp program.
Right.
So that's like a very intensive, how many weeks was it?
Yeah, it was 5 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very intense. It was a full-time program and I was already in Israel. And so I figured, you know, okay, I'm already here. Why don't I just do a boot camp in Tel Aviv? And actually when I think about it, when I started the boot camp, my sort of thinking was, I see myself starting my own thing one day. Even when I was wanted to be a doctor, I always saw myself starting my own practice or doing something med tech related. When I did the boot camp, I was like, okay, I just want to know enough that if I started my own startup, I could know to hire the right people, do the right things, make the right decisions, but I don't necessarily want to be a programmer. That wasn't, my mind wasn't like closed off to that. It was just that I didn't even know what that means. And I think society and culturally doesn't paint programmers in the best light. You know, you think of someone wearing a hoodie and sitting in the corner of their basement in the dark and doing weird things that nobody understands. And that's completely not what it is. And so when I realized, as I was going through the 5 months, I realized that that's totally not what programming is. And that it's a shame that people think it's like that. I think we'd have a lot more diversity in programming if people realized what it really is. And then I was like, okay, you know what? This is actually very different than I thought it was. And maybe it would actually be something I could pursue as a career.
And you did.
And then
so
I did.
After the program, you started your first job really in the industry and you're still with the same company. The company Lemonade is doing amazingly well. So do you mind just sharing a bit about what you do at Lemonade and your day to day, what that looks like?
Yeah, sure. So when I started off, I was doing front end. And that's sort of like, I give the analogy of like, if you're in a car, you know, and you press the, you know, button for the radio or whatever, you're not literally behind the scenes connecting the wires. There's like a nice interior and buttons for you to touch to allow you to make things happen. So that's like front end. It's, you know, the visual stuff you see and buttons you press and things you scroll around that makes things happen in the website. So I did front end at first. And then I moved into DevOps, which is more behind the scenes infrastructure kind of stuff and scalability data stuff. And that was just because of a need of the company. It was a, you know, really small startup at the time. And then I was able to transition into doing backend. And so what that means is I'm, you know, we're an insurance company and I work on the team that does our home and renters product and condo. For the US. And so what that looks like is, you know, any given day I'm adding new features to our app. For example, a few weeks ago I added a pool add-on so you could add coverage for your swimming pool. And so that shows up in our web flow and our applications, like our mobile app. So I'm working with the mobile app team and our web developers and all that stuff that goes on behind the scenes when you push the buttons to make sure that that it works.
You're connecting the radio wires.
Exactly.
In the car when I push the button.
Exactly.
Or, I would, you know, not know how to connect those wires. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's also like a watch, you know, when you take off the watch face and there's all those gears and things, that's the back end. So it's all happening behind the scenes, whatever, without the pretty watch face. So that's sort of what backend is.
First of all, you're a star. Second of all, just so people know, Eden gives these amazing analogies of the front end, the back end, because this is one of her passion projects. She has many, and we're going to talk about more of them throughout this chat, but one of them is called What the Tech. And how, I mean, it's extremely helpful for me. The concept is really a way to communicate to your layman and everyday people what computer science is, what programming is, and how I can understand it. What motivated you to start What the Tech?
Yeah, and I'll just say that it's an Instagram account for now. I would love to do something more with it. I'm always trying, but having a full-time job makes that kind of hard. But anyway, I think the thing that really got me to do it is that when I realized, you know, I sort of, in a way, still feel like a tech outsider. You know, it wasn't that long ago that I didn't know anything about tech. I didn't know what it means to deploy. I didn't know what front-end, back-end, mobile apps. I didn't know what any of that meant. And so having that perspective and now being on the other side and being on the tech side, I realized that a lot of the jargon around tech and especially programming sort of builds this really thick wall between, you know, people who are outside of that world. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that. I felt really alienated from that world and that it was, you know, too difficult to get to the other side and understand tech and be on that level. And now that I'm on the other side, I realize there's really no reason for that. You know, the jargon is just like any other industry jargon, and it shouldn't intimidate people and it shouldn't prevent them from being curious and exploring. And a lot of the concepts, you know, are very understandable. It's just that they're called something weird. And so it's really intimidating, but there's really no reason for it to be that way. And so my hope is that I can make tech and especially coding more approachable to people who otherwise were very intimidated by it. That's all I want, is people to not be intimidated and to just be a part of things more. I think communication in tech companies could be a lot better if everyone was on the same page about different things, you know, between marketing and sales and engineers and support. So yeah, and I started it because I have a coworker who is on the content team, and she was always asking me, you know, there was an issue, she runs our Instagram account, and there was an issue with caching on Instagram, and it caused, you know, the number of followers we had to go down, something like that. And she was like, what's going on? I heard it's something about caching. Can you explain that? And then I started explaining things to her, you know, about that, and what does it mean that we deployed something? And I would use analogies just because that's how I learn. And she was like, you should do something about this. And yeah, that's how it started.
So if people want to follow, and I highly recommend people follow it, because you'll just learn so much. And I think it really does uphold her Eden's mission of, you know, breaking down that barrier and letting anyone feel that tech is accessible. It's at
underscore what the tech. Yeah.
At underscore what the tech. Perfect. Amazing. So something big you just said and something big you just acknowledged is how there really is this kind of barrier to tech, also especially for women. And I want to know how you felt confident enough to take that jump, because me personally, I'm extremely intimidated by coding and software engineering. I think I can't do it. This is way above me. It's not possible. And I'm wondering how you felt and how you felt confident enough to try. And also, what does it look like as a woman in the field? And there are really not a lot.
Yeah. So I think it goes back again to me just being a challenge seeker. But also when I was in high school and everything, I was always in like the advanced math and science classes, and there weren't a lot of women. I mean, I went to a small school. There weren't a lot of, you know, people in general, but
we went
always
to
used
the same
to,
school.
Yeah. So you know what I'm saying.
Of course. No, for the folks at home listening.
Yeah, exactly. So there were always, you know, a lot more guys in my classes than women. And so I was used to that. And yeah, I think it goes back to wanting, you know, to seek out a challenge. And I think that also I was kind of naive. I had heard that there aren't a lot of women in programming and in tech fields, but I didn't really know what that meant, or I didn't really know the numbers. And so I kind of was just like, you know, whatever, I can do it, I can handle it. And it's true, you know, you can handle it, and not just me, anyone. I mean, it's challenging. It's challenging in a lot of different ways. I think for me, when I started, I was not only the only female, but I was the youngest on the team by quite a significant amount of years. I was the only, you know, non-native Israeli on the team. And it was a lot. It was a lot, especially being a very young startup. We were moving super fast. There wasn't any time for, you know, mentorship or anything like that. So it was tough, but there are a lot of women out there who, you know, we all want to help each other and push each other higher, which I think is amazing. And we need just, you know, more and more of that.
And you're you're involved in a project that does that. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah. So I have a friend, Bar Yaron, who started Women of Startup Nation. And then I joined her after she had started it. And basically what we do is we primarily right now are a Facebook page, and we interview women in Israel who have a technical background and tell their story. The goal is to try to share their stories and have their voices be heard and push them higher and give them more exposure. And also that, you know, younger women or even women like us who are, you know, not sure what they want to do with their lives or looking for something else, that they can see these stories and be inspired, maybe to even go into a technical career like, you know, data science or programming.
You really seem to have transformed what was once work into a passion, because not only are you, from an outsider perspective, not only are you extremely passionate about the work you're doing in your day-to-day job, but all of these extracurriculars, if you will, which is really an understatement, all these other initiatives that you're either running or creating or very involved in have to do, are on the same theme of tech, women in tech, new immigrants in tech, making tech accessible. So how do you explain that? You didn't even know this was something you're passionate about, and now you eat, sleep, breathe everything tech and this lifestyle. Please explain it to me. It's amazing.
I mean, I think I'm just that kind of person. When I do something, I do it full force, 100%. There's, you know, either I'm in something or I'm not. And if I'm in, I'm all in. And there are a lot of other things I'm interested in or passionate about, but I think one of the biggest things for me is now, like I said, you know, being on the other side and realizing that there's really no reason for this huge gap between genders in tech. And by the way, it's not just, you know, lack of female in tech, it's lack of diversity. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But just from my perspective, it's a lack of women in tech. And I think one of the biggest issues I realize is just, like I said, that huge barrier that's put up and sort of this macho sort of programmer culture.
Programmer. I've never heard that. That's a
thing.
Before.
That's totally a
programmer.
Thing.
Programmer.
Yep. And I guess, yeah, I think I'm just really passionate about sort of like shaking everyone and waking them up to be like, you know, even like you said, you know, this is something that I'm probably not going to be good at or, you know, whatever. And that's what a lot of people say. That's also what I said until I really realized what it means to be a programmer every day. And I realized it's super creative. You know, I used to think my brother was involved in a lot of robotics things. And so I used to think of programming as, you know, you have to be a genius. If you want to make the robot's arm move, there's only one way to do that. And it's as if you, you know, discovered the theory of relativity. It's like this super genius thing. And now, you know, being on the other side, I realize that's entirely the opposite of what programming is. There's a billion different ways to do the same thing. It's very creative and it's so powerful. I think that's also something that really draws me to it and that I kind of want to like spread the word is that, you know, it's something that is so powerful. You can, you know, make something from scratch that touches millions of people around the world in seconds, you know, and it's something you could do from your home if you want to. It's something you could do by yourself with a team. You could make massive companies, you know, like Facebook and Amazon and Google and all those products that people are loving and Netflix and Spotify. I mean, that's stuff you could make. And it's really not that crazy. So even though it's not for everyone, and that's important for me to say, Just like, you know, being a lawyer isn't for everyone.
Right.
But I think it's a skill that, first of all, should be taught in schools at a much younger age. Mm-hmm. Because even if you're just having the skills to make your own website or, I don't know, any kind of basic technological skill, I feel like could be applied to any field, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, teacher, you know, anything. The younger generation is soon going to start getting those classes in school, if not already. And so I don't want to be at a point where they eventually, you know, join the workforce with me, and then I become sort of obsolete, or, you know, I'm not as useful because I don't know these skills, and then they sort of replace me in that field. So I wanted to get a head start and know those things. And I think it's really empowering. It gives you a lot of capabilities and freedom, and you can make a really positive impact on the world that way. So
totally. I have so many questions and things I want to ask you about it. First of all, it sounds like one of your biggest motivators or something that really satisfies you is the power that, wow, I can build something from nothing and it'll affect a lot of people or get in a lot of people's hands.
Yeah.
What other elements of your day or your work give you a lot of satisfaction? And when do you have moments where you're like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore, or, oh my God, I can't do this today?
Things that are really satisfying. I mean, when I finish a feature and run all of the tests and everything is green and good to go, and I've tested it out and it's all working as I would expect, and it's clean, nice and pretty code. That's a great feeling. Or when there's some kind of really annoying bug and it's hard to figure out what's going on, and finally you get to the end of it and you're like, oh, I figured it out. It's kind of like finishing the end of a puzzle. It's like very satisfying feeling, like last piece in place, like, great feeling. And things that don't feel so good, I guess, yeah, it can be really annoying when you're trying to debug something and figure out what's going on. And there are times when you kind of lose yourself. It's like going through a maze and you're like, okay, I'm going to go right. And then I'm going to keep going down that way. And then you realize it's not going to happen. So you're like, okay, I need to go back to where I was and instead turn left. And then you're like, but wait, did I already go that way or did I not go that way? And you kind of lose yourself in the code and you're like, wait, what am I even looking for? I don't remember. And so there's moments like that where it can get really frustrating and you're like, at the end of the day, and you're just like, I just want to finish everything and go home. But you're also, you don't want to step away because you're like, I'm too deep into this. If I step away, I'm going to lose my place. Again, it's something that, you know, you will figure it out and you'll get to it, or you'll ask for help.
You are someone who, you're kind of, what's the expression? A jack of all trades. You're a jack of all trades. I have some friends like you who I feel could do anything very well, could be excited about it, could be passionate about it. I have a particular friend that I'm thinking of who, she's good at so many things and is passionate about so many things, but then she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know the step to take because she's, I could be a teacher, or I could be this.
Yep.
So you definitely, from what I know and how we've been friends and I know you, are someone who is passionate about a lot of different things and would be amazing at a lot of different things. So how do you figure that out? What advice do you give to someone who is excited about different things and they don't know which path to go down? Where do they start?
I was actually reading something recently. Someone told me about, I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert, who talks about hummingbirds versus jackhammers, and jackhammers are the kind of people who, you know, like one thing and go with it and become experts about that. And hummingbirds are more like you described, like me, you know, passionate about a lot of different things. And I'm still trying to figure out how to manage that, because I think, you know, I see myself starting, you know, one project and being super excited about it. And it's kind of like your ADD. You're like, oh, but I like this and let me do that. And then you kind of, at least I kind of feel sometimes like I'm not an expert at really anything. You know, I have all this science background and, you know, chemistry and biology. And now I know stuff about programming. Do I feel like I'm an expert in either of those? No. And I guess you just have to do what you think, or, you know, what you feel is making you happy. And, you know, if I were to sit and, you know, watch programming tutorials, it should be because I'm curious about that kind of subject and I want to dive into it more, instead of I feel like I should know this. Sometimes I find myself, you know, feeling intense imposter syndrome and that I don't belong in this, and I'm just waiting for them, you know, to
Girl,
wake up and be like,
don't we
why,
all feel
why
that,
is she still here? Like, what's going
that imposter
on?
Imposter syndrome. And that's what's crazy, because it's just, I guess the fact is that everyone feels that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Which is so nuts. Cause like when I look at you, I'm like, oh my God, she knows everything and
no.
whatever. And we all kind of, but that's the part of the problem, that we do need to internalize that, oh, we are talented. We know these things. We have these skills. And
I guess like my biggest advice, and I guess I'm also telling it to myself, something I try to work on, is I try to just be curious. And, you know, if I'm working on something at work and I don't know the answer, or I don't even know the word that they're talking about, so I Google it. And, you know, if I'm curious to learn more, I look into it. Or, you know, if I'm working on something I've never worked on before, I research it so I can, you know enough to do what I need to do, and also a little bit more to, you know, do it well. And I think as long as you're doing things you enjoy and enjoy learning, you know, part of why I love programming is it's a career that you're part of your job is to keep learning. Mm-hmm. And so there really is no end to that, you know, because there's always new technologies coming out. So even people who are super senior in the industry, they're always needing to learn new things. Mm-hmm. And so I just keep reminding myself that, you know, nobody knows everything about everything, and there are limits. And so just keep, you know, learning the things you want to learn because you're interested, and not because you think you should know it or have to know it.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting what you just said about how things are always changing and you're constantly learning. I think that's a big motivator for a lot of people, because they want to kind of be kept on their toes, and it can easily get boring or stagnant. Like, okay, I've done this, I know how to do that. And it's the same thing every day at work. And oh, in order to actually stay relevant and do my job properly, I need to learn something new. Looking back, is there anything you would have changed or done differently? How do you feel about where you're at right now?
Yeah, I guess for me, I'm happy about my journey. I think I try to use my unique background to help other people. And I don't think I would have been able to, you know, start something like What the Tech, or, you know, be able to talk to people who aren't in tech and sort of say like I did this, you know, so be sort of an example had I not had my experience. Mm-hmm. But if I were to, you know, if I had a daughter or something and were advising her, I would say to not get too much tunnel vision about your dreams. Like, I'm all about being passionate and following your dreams and working hard towards them. But I would just caution people to not dive into that too early. Because, you know, when you're young, and especially at the age that, you know, kids in the US go to university, you're still so young, you haven't experienced much, you know, travel, be around different people, try different things, and try it more than once. Because maybe, you know, if I had tried programming and I didn't like the course instructor for, you know, the course I was taking, I would maybe think, oh, this isn't for me. But no, give it another chance. Maybe, you know, I took Harvard's CS50 course online, which is their intro to computer science course. And the professor is amazing, giving all these examples and making it so fun and relatable. And so give things a few tries and just explore a lot. And then, you know, see what you like and don't like, and just keep trying things. Or, you know, if you're young and in university anyway, then choose some kind of career that gives you tangible skills. Because I think after university, not going into medicine, when I had this, you know, hard science degree, it was kind of scary. Like, the only other option, I guess, I was thinking was to go into research, and I didn't see myself doing that. Follow your passions, but keep trying other things too. I think the better chances of you finding what you're passionate about is if you try a bunch of different things.
That's really good advice. You are very good at living out your passions and combining them. Because on the one hand, when I think of you, aside from the career stuff and being a superstar, I also think of you as a major people person who likes connecting people, has a lot of friends, likes helping those friends. And I think that you're mixing that really well when you're talking about What the Tech and the Women of Startup Nation and Olimin Tech, because you're basically trying to bring people together, help people, use your story as an example to hopefully inspire people, and use your skill set and network to aid others. Would you?
Yeah, I try. By the way, everyone, I'm totally paying Stephanie to say all these things about me.
No.
I really appreciate you saying that, because it's not easy. It sometimes feels like I'm stretching myself really thin.
If I had
an ideal situation, it'd be, you know, like one side hustle, not 10 or 12, but it's really hard for me to settle on one thing. You know, if someone's like, oh, I have this interesting project, blah, 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 it takes a lot of effort for me to be like, I just don't have the capacity for it right now.
Totally.
And it's something that I've had to learn. And I think it's an important skill to be able to say no, because it gives you more energy for the things you really care about.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying, you know, saying yes to one thing means you might have to say no to something else. So is this mm-hmm. something you really want to do? At this point, I'm just trying to keep doing things that make me happy. And
I think you're probably the most productive person I know. And I think you can do more in an hour.
Or you
than
think
most
I'm
people.
The most productive.
Yeah, whatever front you're putting on. I'm buying it. I bought it. Bought it way back when. But how do you explain that? Like, for me, I struggle with productivity and that I need to be productive and I need to be doing things, and I can't just sit, even though I need to sit and recharge, whether it's watching TV
totally.
Or truly doing nothing. I feel like I'm incapable of it and I feel inadequate when I do it. So I'm wondering, as someone who is extremely involved in a lot of different projects, do you ever deal with that? Or
totally. I think also I was reading some psychology related thing about people who, I don't remember what it was, but that it was definitely me as the type of person they were talking about, and a lot of procrastinating. And that's totally me. You know, I have a reminder on my phone that every day I remind myself to do this one thing for the past, I don't know, 30 months. It's just something I don't want to do. And it would take me 5 seconds, truly. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to do it. So I definitely have a lot of those moments. But I also feel like I'm the kind of person who, the more I have to do, the more I get done. And I love staying busy. But also I realize mm-hmm. about myself that I just took a quiz actually recently about, you know, are you more of an introvert, extrovert? And I got an ambivert, like right in the middle. A lot of people might think I'm extroverted.
Yes.
But I'm totally not. I need my alone time.
I was thinking about this. I was literally going to ask you, and I was thinking exactly that. I was thinking that I wanted to bring up introvert, extrovert, but I felt that you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, so totally. I enjoy being around people. And like you said, connecting people and meeting new people. I really do. But sometimes it gets, you know, overstimulating. And on the weekend, I just kind of crash and I just, you know, want to be in my room watching TV, doing nothing. And it's funny because during COVID, I've started to really realize that, because at work sometimes, you know, people think programmers, you know, do a lot of stuff on their own and it's very isolating, but it's actually very social and you need to be a good communicator and there's a lot of communication and it's a lot. It's a lot of stimulation. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes time for lunch, a lot of times I feel myself having to push myself to go have lunch with other people, when really what I want to do is like find a corner by myself, mm-hmm. eat by myself,
mm-hmm.
not do anything, stare at the wall, just like be alone. I really need that recharging energy. And sometimes I sort of really push myself to, you know, go to meetups or whatever, but it does not come easily. It's definitely, you know, me pushing myself. And then on the weekends, I just kind of crash.
Totally. And a well-deserved crash. You deserve that so much. What can we expect from you? I think that you're destined to do great big things. And what's on your list? What are you hoping to do in your next chapter or in the future? I know you said you might want to start something of your own.
Yeah.
So is there anything you want to share?
I guess one thing I've learned about being in Israel is to not plan so much. When I was younger, I was like, okay, in 4 years, I'm going to take the MCAT and then I'm going to apply to med school and then I'm going to go to med school and then I'm going to do residency and then, you know, start a family, blah, 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 live in this place, whatever. And I had so many plans and then life happened and I decided to do something else. And so that was really scary because I built up all these plans and things and expectations. And I think being here has just made me go with the flow more and see, you know, right now I'm really happy at my job. I love the company. I love the, you know, the different positions I've been able to do and the product and what we stand for. And so I feel in a good place. And so I don't want to say, you know, in 5 years, because if you had asked me 2 years ago when I had been at the company for 1 year, you know, it was really hard. I don't know if I would have seen myself being here more than 3 years later. So I think you just never know. And I don't mean to dodge the question. I eventually, you know,
you need that. That's your,
like,
that's
I eventually do see myself,
answer, which is important.
Yeah. I do see myself eventually starting my own thing. But I don't have any expectations for myself, you know, within the next 2 years, 3 years, 10, 5 years, whatever. I think I'm just, it's something that's always in the back of my head. Like, okay, you know, thinking of ideas or, you know, people who I would want to start things with or where or what. But I think I'm just letting myself, you know, let life happen and see if, I think I've realized also that sometimes when you plan for things and it doesn't happen the way you planned it, it actually can end up being better than you would have planned it. I think I just try to really go with the flow, which is so not what my personality was 5 years ago. Like all my friends would be like, what?
Who is that girl?
It's such
good advice, though.
Yeah.
We only have control over so much. And clearly, especially what Corona has taught us is that we don't have control over anything.
Totally.
This was amazing. And I thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And I can't
wait
to
see. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Are you kidding? I think you inspire me. And we're going to hang out.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I just wanted to be known that when I was younger, and you're 2 years older than me, and when we were in high school and we were in BBYO, which is the youth leadership organization for people who don't know, and you were president of the region, the whole of Michigan region, and I just remember, like, you were totally my inspiration. I was like, she is so fun and personable and smart and hardworking and creative and passionate and all this stuff, and I was like, I want to be like Stephanie. I'm not even just saying that. It truly was like you were a really great role model for me. So this has been an honor to be here.
Thank you so much. I think I peaked when I was the regional president of BBYO. That's like my biggest accomplishment.
No.
I can't go any higher than that. But thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. And I thank you for your time. And we're going to hang out just at a socially distanced something or other sometime soon.
Yeah, perfect.
And thanks so much, Eden.
Thank you so much. This was great.